Please listen as I read God's word. This is Psalm 14. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek for God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord? There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but God is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Psalm 14 speaks very plainly about the condition of man's heart without God. He is a fool. Not the type of fool that you might laugh at, like a court jester, but instead it's the type of person that the Bible describes as being perverse. One who has plugged their ears to God's word and turned against the Lord. He even says in his heart, "There is no God." And it's not just an intellectual bent that this person has. The fool continues to show contempt for God by his actions. Verse 1 lists some of those. He's corrupt. He's done abominable works. There is no one who does good. David even describes God himself looking down from heaven to see if there is anyone who is righteous. But he finds no one, not even one. The Lord continues in verse 4 to exclaim that the wicked act without knowledge. They eat up God's people as if they were devouring bread, and they never call upon the Lord. We have been working through the Psalms, starting from the very beginning, and you might recognize that this is a common theme for David, that he is concerned for the people of God, and he's concerned for the way the enemies of God look at the Lord's people and at the Lord himself. But there's something of a progression that has come to a logical end here in chapter 14. Over and over again in the early Psalms, David examines the enemies and points out what's happening with them. But as he traces what is happening with them, he can't help but come to the conclusion that it is not just the enemies that are corrupt, but he says that every single person is corrupt. Everyone has turned away from the Lord. There is none who is righteous. No, not one. It's not just the enemies that he has in mind here, but he says that every single human being has turned away from the Lord. Paul quotes this in the New Testament in Romans chapter 3. You might remember that in that book, it's his argument that is the very same argument of David here. That every single human being has done what is wrong. And he quotes these verses about there being none who is righteous, and that emphatic, ringing statement, "No, not one." All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Those are Paul's words. All have sinned. There is none righteous. No, not one. But then, like David, Paul turns to the subject of grace in order to comfort believers. No one is righteous in and of himself, but God is merciful and gracious. And David speaks of this from his own perspective. He is looking forward to the promised Savior. And in verse 5, he observes that God's people are in great fear that the enemies shame the poor. But he says, God is with the righteous. The Lord is his refuge. And when David says that God is with the righteous, that stands out because of what David has concluded previously. That word righteous might grate on our ears in the midst of this poem, because he says that all have done what is unrighteous, that all have become corrupt, all have turned aside, that there is no one who does good. And so you might be left saying, so who are the righteous that David is speaking of? Well, that righteousness is not something that people have in and of themselves. Instead, it's the righteousness that comes from God. God is with the righteous. The Lord is his refuge. It makes it plain that our righteousness is not our own. It is that we have a hiding place. We have a place of safety. What do you do when the tornado siren rings? If you're in Oklahoma and you go out on the porch with your camera. But if there really is a tornado, what do you do? Well, you go to your basement. You go to your safe room. You go to your refuge. And that's what God is. God is our refuge. He is our safe place. We know we have salvation and even righteousness because God is with us. And it's that type of righteousness, that type of deliverance that is given to us by grace. And we know that grace because it comes through the person of Jesus Christ. He is our refuge. And so David looks forward to the coming of that refuge, and we can look back to Jesus, who has saved us from our sins. One other point that I would call your attention to here is that David closes this psalm with a prayer. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Paul quotes this prayer too in the book of Romans. There in chapter 11, Paul prays for the gospel of Jesus Christ to bear fruit. And he quotes from this psalm. And he applies it to the Jews, because the Jews are included in that great argument that all have sinned and that all need to believe in Jesus Christ. And even more, the Jews, having heard and seen Jesus Christ, they rejected him. And Paul longs for his fellow countrymen to be converted. He longs for them to hear of the grace that is offered, to be convicted of their sins, and to turn in faith to Jesus Christ, the only Savior. What's wonderful about this prayer is that Paul takes it up, and we can take it up as well, praying for the Jews. Because Paul goes on to say, it will not always be the case that the Jews are hardened in unbelief. Instead, salvation has come out of Zion in the person of Jesus Christ. And he speaks in something of anticipation that the Lord would bring back his people from the spiritual captivity that they are in. And we pray that as well for the Jews, that they would hear of Jesus and be converted. Whether Jew or some other nationality, we must agree that men and women are fools, that we all have sinned, that there is none righteous, no, not one. But thankfully, salvation has come out of Zion in Jesus Christ. And by his grace, we are saved. With those words, I want us to sing Psalm 14. The tune has something of a plaintive note to it because of that sense of confession of sins. We'll sing the A selection of Psalm 14. I invite you to please stand to sing to the Lord.